concerns about the swift spread of what's believed to be the Delta variant, and how to deliver a new national maternity hospital that's state-owned and controlled. Just two of the challenges on the desk of the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, this week, and he's live in studio. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Now, a week ago we were told that this Delta variant is accounting for, we think, about 5% of the COVID cases. Now it's accounting for about 20%. It could be 40% by next week. And at the time of the further reopening of this country, it could be north of 60%. Considerable concern among ministers reported. How concerned are you, and will the reopening go ahead as planned?
I am concerned, and I know people are asking about the reopening. The answer to the reopening is we have a process we've been using all year, which I think people support and want to see, which is coming up to any reopening date, an effort to a full analysis. We also get an economic analysis, a social analysis, and then Cabinet makes decisions. So if we go back to the last set of reopenings, actually NPHET came to the COVID committee in Cabinet and said, we are ahead of expectations, the country's doing really well, so we can go further, and we moved faster. It's really there are two very different things going on here. The epidemiological situation in the country, other than COVID, other than Delta, is very positive. The number of cases is continuing to fall. We're seeing phenomenal results in terms of the protection afforded by the vaccines. The numbers in hospital and ICU are now very, very low. So we're starting from a very strong position. All age groups except the 19 to 24-year-olds are falling, whether they're vaccinated or not. That's a particular age group that we need to focus on and support a bit more, I think. So the domestic situation has been going well. People have been doing the right thing. The vaccine program has been working well. And the security measures in terms of international travel have been good.
Okay, but the next step is the reopening of indoor hospitality.
It's several things. So it would be four households at home, up to 50 at a wedding, 50 to 100 at indoor organised events, 2 to 500 at outdoor venues, indoor hospitality, indoor training up to 6. There's a lot of different things on the table. The concern I have is that we are now surrounded by the Delta variant. What do we know about the Delta variant? I thought Dr. Barry was very good on your show earlier on. Essentially, while there are ranges to these things, we know it's significantly more contagious. We believe it is a lot more severe, two to two and a half times more likely to hospitalise somebody.
And contagious outdoors as well as
indoors? Yes, just more contagious generally. And we know that at least for the first dose, it is less susceptible to vaccines. So this is a very, very serious
variant. And that's the backdrop to the decision you have to make after hearing from NPHET next week as to whether or not to proceed on the 5th of July.
That's right. And just over the last few days, the situation with Delta here has changed. So post-NPHET last Thursday, the data that I was shown showed that actually the number of new Delta cases in the country per week, as identified by whole genome sequencing, was falling. And it had been falling every week for 4 weeks. There's this other way that they look at it as well, called the S-gene dropout. And that is now indicating that maybe 1 in 5 new cases in the last 7 days or so are the Delta variant. It's over 90% of cases in Britain. It's rising very rapidly in the north.
And that's the backdrop, and what the hotel, what the pub owners and the restaurant owners want to know is, because they have to prepare, what's going to happen on the 5th of July, Minister?
They do need to know that, and I know it's a very, very worrying situation for them. At the same time, I've spoken to a lot of people in hospitality, and what they've consistently said is, whilst it has been a heartbreaking year, the supports put in place have helped. They've helped staff, but it's been a heartbreaking year for the hospitality industry. The core thing they are saying to me is, whatever you do, make it sustainable. So we don't want to go backwards. So, you know, what the hospitality industry would not want is a situation where we push too far, the Delta variant puts everything at risk, and people have to close down.
So is it likely then, given everything you've said there, that you may have to delay this further reopening for a couple of weeks?
At this point, it's too early to say. What we have is we have an approach that people buy into, which is in the week beforehand, we know that COVID tears up the best laid plans and it's a rapidly evolving situation with Delta. So what we're going to do, exactly what people would expect us to do, NPHET will do a very detailed analysis. There'll be an economic analysis. Cabinet will look at that and then make decisions in the best interests of a sustainable
and
reopening.
When will we know that decision?
Cabinet will decide at the cabinet meeting before the 5th of July. So NPHET, for example, will be starting to do that analysis now, and we'll have a sit down on it next week. And
yes, you'll have a sit down with NPHET next week. When next week? Middle of the week?
Well, I would usually sit down with NPHET on a Thursday. But
so we should know on Friday?
Well, the week before these decisions, the dates can move around a bit. So I'm not sure exactly who's meeting when next week. But next week is when this analysis
you are concerned and it's on the table.
A
delay of a couple of weeks or 3 weeks could be on the table.
Well, a speeding up and a delay are always on the table. So 4 weeks ago, NPHET said, actually, you can go faster. So the process we have is that it's always contingent on the public health advice and situation.
Now we know, moving on then to the 19th of July, we're supposed to have the reopening of travel with the European Digital Passport. Mm. Some suggestion from the Taoiseach that we could be perhaps going ahead with that travel on the 19th of July, but confining it to people who are fully vaccinated.
Current government policy is that there will be essentially unimpeded travel within the EU and any other partner countries once you have the digital COVID certificate. Now, we have chosen three things that qualify for that. You're fully vaccinated, or you have had a PCR test within 3 days, or you have a lab-confirmed COVID infection yourself within 9 months. So that's current government policy. As with all of these things, if we were to get very strong public health advice saying that because the Delta variant is now raging in various countries, so I met the Portuguese health minister last week, for example, and she was telling me that as of last week, it was more than 40% of new cases in Portugal. Well, that's somewhere obviously we go and people would be intending going on holiday. So right now, government policy is all three criteria. Count as with everything in COVID, were we to get strong public health advice to the contrary, we would obviously
take that. It could
be
narrowed to fully vaccinated only.
Well, that conversation isn't happening at the moment. What we know is the chief medical officer has raised his concerns from a public health perspective, but government policy is all three criteria. If we get strong public health advice, obviously we will take that under consideration.
Now, if we move on to the new National Maternity Hospital, what is your strategy at this point to deliver a hospital on the St. Vincent's campus that is publicly owned and publicly governed with no private and no religious involvement?
Yes, that's exactly right. So women, mums and babies need a new maternity hospital. The care provided in Holles Street by the National Maternity Hospital is absolutely world class, but the building is not fit for purpose. It's government policy, and I think agreed by everybody, that in the interests of women, mums and babies, maternity hospitals should be co-located where possible with big adult hospitals. So there's a lot of support for the site. There's St. Vincent's is a fantastic adult hospital. The National Maternity Hospital is a fantastic maternity hospital. And co-location of those two hospitals ultimately makes sense. Now, there are a few issues that have been raised, and I think very reasonably raised. One is around full clinical and operational independence. And that's not about who owns the land or indeed the building. That's about the governance structures. Mm. Do we have a legal structure in place that is bulletproof?
Is that the fundamental issue, or is the fundamental issue here ownership of the site?
I think the primary issue is clinical independence, that the National Maternity Hospital can do what it believes is right for women, mums and babies, and that there's no ethos saying you can or cannot do the following things. And that's about making sure that the governance process is absolutely watertight in terms of independence.
And is it?
Well, I am told it is.
Who tells you that?
The Department of Health, the HSC, is poring over the legals. It's based on the Mulvey Agreement from 2016. However, I will only bring a recommendation to government to proceed with this if I have the best possible legal advice saying there's full clinical and operational independence. So that's the first issue. The second issue isn't so much about the independence of the hospital, but I think actually goes to a deeper issue. And I listened carefully to the interview you did with Breed Smith earlier on this morning, which I thought was very good. And this is about who owns the land? In operational terms, it doesn't really matter. There's a 150-year lease. You know, we could move the National Maternity into a fully privately built and owned hospital. The point is the National Maternity Hospital would say what happens inside that hospital, right?
So you're now accepting that ownership of the land, are you saying to me it's immaterial here because you will negotiate this 150-year lease?
I'm saying there's two separate issues, and the clinical and operational independence is essential, but is a separate issue to who owns the land the hospital is built on. I think it is important who owns the land. And it is my strong preference that the state, or rather the people, would own the land. And ultimately, Mary, what I think this comes down to is women in Ireland want to own their own maternity hospital, and they want to own the land that their maternity hospital is built on. I think women in Ireland are sick of being told what is in their best interests when it comes to their sexual and reproductive health. And I think that's a lot.
But if you like, you are the agent of the people of Ireland here in the securing of this hospital. So how are you going to secure ownership of the land for this hospital for the women and the people of Ireland?
I'm going to meet the stakeholders. I'm going to engage with them privately. They are aware of my position. They're aware of the government's position. And I think they're aware of the position of the women of Ireland.
And you're aware of their position. The site is not for sale.
Which is why we need to meet. I don't think setting out conditions like that in press releases are helpful. The people of Ireland fund St. Vincent's. And I think that given that, the people of Ireland are owed more respect than to be told by press release by St. Vincent's what is and is not going to happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to meet the sisters privately. I'm going to meet St. Vincent's
sisters?
Privately.
Are the sisters not out of the picture, that they created a holding company to gift the site to the people, but it's being held by the holding company?
They have, and in fairness to the sisters, they are gifting it. Mm. It's an asset worth hundreds of millions of euro, and they are gifting it for the use of healthcare. And I think it's important that that's recognised.
So you're going to meet them?
Yeah, and I'm going to
meet
St. Vincent's.
The St. Vincent's Hospital Trust.
Yeah.
And what are you asking them?
I don't want to get into that negotiation on air. But ultimately, sorry, the position, my position and the government's position is the people of Ireland, the women of Ireland, want to own the land that their own maternity hospital is built on. And I would very much like to see that facilitated. And I think it would be in everyone's interest if that was facilitated.
When you meet them, and you can tell me if there is a date for that meeting now, will you be saying if they don't agree to gift the land to the state or sell the land to the state, would you consider CPOing the site, compulsory purchase order?
I don't think it's helpful to put down red lines in, you know, through the media. These are
conversations. There's a red line from St. Vincent's Hospital Trust. The land is not for sale.
Well, like I said, I don't think that is a helpful thing for them to be doing. And I think they should be cognizant and have a bit more respect for the people of Ireland who fund their hospital. I don't think that's the way to do business. These conversations need to be held, and they need to be held respectfully.
When are you meeting them, by the way, Minister?
We don't have an exact... Shortly, over the coming days.
Have they agreed to meet you?
Yes.
They have agreed. So you're just awaiting a suitable time and date.
There are conversations going on. But I think ultimately, Mary, let's keep the two issues separate. They're important, but they're separate.
But they're not separate. No, but Minister, they're not separate, because you can't proceed with one. If you're saying you want ownership of the site for the women and the people of Ireland, how can you proceed with a hospital, no matter what its ethos and governance is, if you don't have ownership of the site and if that's what you want and it's your bottom line?
Because there's no option here that necessarily gives any stakeholder exactly what they want. So, for example, you were talking earlier on this morning with Breege Smith about compulsory purchase orders. That is not a route that resolves any problems quickly, right? So you can end up in court for years through a compulsory purchase order.
So it's not a route that you want to take.
No, and for another reason, Mary, which is ultimately what we want to see is a decades and decades long collaboration between St. Vincent's and the maternity hospital. We want this to be an amazing good news story
for women. What everybody wants. They want a hospital.
And I guess, sorry, the point I'm just making there, Mary, is you don't start those relationships in court.
No,
good relationships don't tend to start in
court. The final question here is, if you can't get ownership of the site, are you prepared to proceed with the guarantees you already have, the 150-year lease and the guarantees on ethos and ownership and governance, or would you walk away?
If we get to that point, that's a conversation I want to have with stakeholders, with civil society, with the Oireachtas, and with government. I think it's important that we listen. And if we are in a situation that says we could have ownership, but it would be many, many more years before we had a hospital in place, what I want to do is I want to listen carefully to women. I want to listen carefully to our clinicians and to our elected representatives, and let's see, and to my government colleagues, and let's see where we would go from there. But our preference is that the people of Ireland, in this case, the women of Ireland, would own the site that their own maternity hospital is being built on.
Minister Stephen Donnelly, thank you for coming into us this morning. It's 28 minutes past 8.